Blog Talk Radio.
We can estimate
over 400,000 live online class. What did you say, Latter-day Saints? Yeah, Phil, once we came to the broadcast. Yeah, I hear you. All right, I hear that in grand style, no doubt about it. All right, good enough. So we're going to bring our LDN, we'll bring this broadcast. Remember one thing, T. Ray, the Passover feast is so close, it's only this time Wednesday night will be the Passover feast and white garments and fringes, and we're going to talk about exactly what it's all about on the Passover, and we'll give you an update on the Passover, maybe in this lesson too, we don't know. But we're going to bring our elder in, he's going to tell you all about who brings the broadcast, and wherever way it goes, we'll take it that way. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs. Yahweh bless you, that's C. Royal.
And Yahweh bless you, C. Israel, C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Elder. One thing we do know, Elder, that all the slots are spilt, and a lot of these saints did got a message across the airway saying, well, you know, sir, after we got on the broadcast, the ministry have doubled in numbers. Well, that's all right. But one thing about it, our goal is to get the six anointed camps on one accord where they all speak the same thing. They can take care of it, and Yahweh will show the next hand. Yahweh will show the next hand, and the majority don't rule in Yahweh. Matter of fact, he always start less, and then he'll work his way up to where he got to get to. So the only thing on my mind now is getting the six anointed camps on their feet, and we definitely doing that in grand style. And so he ought to take the time and let them know we'll bring this broadcast, and we'll get what we can at time appointed you on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands. It's a pleasure to be able to be here in order to speak and to listen and learn. We have a lot of people that come to the broadcast and sometimes even in the temple to show their own discord. This makes you think, are we to do good or evil? Talking about free will, we're given a choice. Are we to do good or evil? Shall we continue to be a hellraiser or a peacemaker? If so, a peacemaker, then we decide to do Yahweh and not Satan. In the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 16, it says, and in every deed for this cause have I raised up thee to show thee my power, and that in my name may be declared throughout the earth. And the reason for that, let's take a look at Sirach chapter 6, verse number 6, and see what that has to say. 6 says, be at peace with many, but have one counselor over 1,000. And doing this, you don't have misguided directions. Everybody wanting to put their 2 cents in, not even adding up to a dollar. In Sirach chapter 6, verse 35, it says, be willing to hear every Yahwali discord, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. Also in verse 36, it says, and if thou seest a man of understanding, get thee behind unto him, and let thy foot wear out the steps of his door. I know that's where I would be. Find a man of understanding, I'd be willing to sacrifice a lot of time to gain just a portion of what that man knows. This is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, Christianity, and wrong direction. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. We come to you live, as always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. We've often been told, how can you guys at Yahweh's ministry get all this information out of this one book? It comes from knowing how to connect the books. Your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we even discuss much more. We do all this because this is information you came to seek and have to look no further. You found it now in the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, having no class on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, I think. Well, actually not tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow. But we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of Sabbath is Friday. Our current time for that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have our website address to use this on any search line, intertribeyada.com. After clicking enter, just under Big Iron, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you might see menu, but after clicking that, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, all your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves that you're forgiven. And also, donations that's contributed to this ministry is greatly appreciated. According to the books of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and also the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also for building a school, which is very well needed to teach a lot of people that need that teaching. Our banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of. Hallelujah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends, including myself, in tune with the feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's available during our live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah, and click the red live button as soon as this appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses for the listening members to use. The first is Tribe Yadah, which is spelled T-R-I-B-E-Y-H-D-H at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions and questions on a biblical subject answered or related topics. The other is Y-H-D-H-Y-S-R-A-E-L at gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We have a few numbers you can also call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six online accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. Also, by calling that same number, you can order what we have known today by our members as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you give us the right name and the right address so you can promptly receive that shipment. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast time or afterwards. The seer is usually very busy with the New York station stockholder, Mr. Singer, I mean, the WCC, announcing many memos, and even addition to that now, even the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you can bet you will receive a call back. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time is repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And when you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. At that point, just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Another good note, during the normal Bartok broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program live on Paltalk. On Paltalk, we'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah, and you'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discussed during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel Writing as Shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments, off-topic, or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But when we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer, remember to be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the words of Yahuwah without confusion, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all covenants or churches of the saints. We have to keep these scriptures in mind, and we can begin doing that by opening your Bibles and get ready to let our program start. I'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, on that. That's excellent on your part again. So one thing about it, the box tail have been lit. The curtain have went up. One thing to do but organize, see, right? But we got to organize according to these scriptures, and we got to be able to not be a parakeet. We have to be clear when something on the table, whatever it is, we better tell if you're catching on to this thing, because we know that as a minister, he's supposed to emerge himself, because timeline is getting short. I'm sorry, we might take a look at it. Timeline getting short. That's pretty good. We'll stop that right there. Let's go see who will be on stage for the next episode, part number 90. 90 episodes? Wow. So we're going to see who all going to be on the stage. And we see up in front is the young lion, Brother Micaiah. All right. Let's bring that young lion in and let him roar a little bit on take number 90. So when you meet one of the up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1, the young lion, Brother Micaiah Israel, Tribe of Yahuwah Judah. Yahuwah BJC, right?
Yahuwah bless you, say Israel. See Roy. Hallelujah.
All right. Excellent. Brother Micaiah Israel. All right. Let's see who else on stage for tonight's episode. Let's run around Detroit, Michigan, see if the princess is ready to get in that microphone and meet and greet. That's nothing. I got to take a look at that, too. That's right. I thought about something just then, because one thing about it, Yahuwah said he cannot see his sign. And the reason why he can't see his sign, because some things that need to be brought out and always reminded of. We'll see. Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan. Princess, Leo Israel. Yahuwah bless you, that's C. Royal.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer of Israel, C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Seer Israel. Oh, see, Roy. That is the mark. Seer Israel. Oh, see, Roy. That is the mark. All right, good enough. Let's run up. Let's run and see if we find Brother Micaiah again. Let's see what Luke chapter 12. Let's see what we can get read out of that, and see which way the lesson's going. Brother Micaiah, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1, chapter 12, verse 12. What it say?
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
And that, and I believe that. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. But that don't come easy as we think it is. And I think I want to just precept that a little bit too, just what you just got to say. The righteous spirit in that very same hour. But how would we discern anything? How do you do it? You know, it's just so much that have to be lined up that we can read. Then the Almighty gonna say, "Well, I got no choice but to follow that, otherwise my word is gonna stand." Not that way he said that anyway. Let's run the psalm for a minute. Let's see what he said it. He missing somebody's word there, Brother Micaiah. He missing something about his words. And something he said about his word. What do we say that we can read? He missing something about his word. So if you can find it before I can, or the chart and bring it up. But he says something about his word. And so let's see what he says about his word. He says something about his word. So if anybody can help those see it out, he makes a statement pertaining to his word. And I'm struggling right out the gate. So can anybody help those see it out about his word? He makes a statement about his word. Or do we have to table it and come back to it later? What he says about his word that we can read out of the book of Psalms. Can anybody help those see it out? He makes a profound statement about his word.
Psalms 107:20.
Well, that's good. Go ahead and you throw that on the table, but that's good. That's one of them, but don't throw that on the table, and at least one thing about it, you up to bat, swinging. 107:20, what's the thing?
The book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 20. Verse 20 reads, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction."
So he sent that word and healed them from their destruction. Mm-hmm, okay. Well, now we got to precept that to the fifth chapter, about verse 13. He sent the word to heal them. So now that got to be precept to the book of Hebrew, a title called Hebrew. We might examine that. And I'd be still looking at a couple of things, but swing down to the book of Hebrew. James 5:13-16. He said he sent that word and it healed them. That's what you just got through reading. In 107:20, but what do James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 say? We're going to analyze that. Let's do one verse at a time. Let me see if there's anything in one verse at a time. James chapter 5, verse 13, what that say?
Book of James chapter 5, verse 13. 13 reads, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song." Verse 14. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation of the family of the children of Israel."
Stop right there. So now he says, you read in 107:20, he's going to send that word to heal you. But now he tell you, to me, that means it must be sick. His word would do the healing. The word would do the healing. So you got to have a word for the healing. That's why you have to examine the matter. So he say, In 107 verse 20, he sent that word to heal them. Now you just read the word must come from who? Let's see what the word would come from in verse 14. So that word got to come from who? Let's see what it say. Read that verse 14 again.
Book of Psalms. The book of James, chapter 5, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, polluted word for all the congregation of the family of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So there's right there. So you got to call for the elders of all of the congregation of the children of Israel, as if you're sick. But there's a little bit more to it now. So the word will heal you if you are sick. Now read the next verse.
Finishing up verse 14. Let him call for the elders, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let the elders anoint him with oil in the name of Yahuwah. Letters YHWH. And then what happened next?
Verse 15, and the prayer of covenant shall save the sick, and Yahuwah shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him.
Oh, so now it comes with the prayer of the covenant. So now you have brought the covenant involved now. So now we find out one thing, the prayer will work. But now you have to be a covenant keeper. So he says, because he made a statement. We'll wrap it out of that. He made a statement in Matthew's 13. He said something. Matthew's 15. What he says in verse number, chapter 15. Verse 26. 15:26.
Book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 26. 26 reads, but he asked and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs.
No. Now, wait a minute. Come back and read about that sick again. That sick again, what he said about the sick again, that was verse 15. What he say again in verse 15? I think you're going to stumble on something there, Brother Micaiah. I think we're going to work with it a little bit because one thing about it, remember, take 90 and all it takes prior to it is unlocking the mysteries. So a lot of times we be wondering why certain things do not happen. Although you hear somebody huffing and puffing over you, and in the same token, then sometimes it don't nothing happen. Maybe it's a little rules and regulation that we overlooking, and if he sent that word and heal you, so the word can work. What in verse 15?
Book of James, chapter 5, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, and prayer of the covenant shall save the sick, and Yahuwah shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Oh, so that is a pretty good sign that you just came all of a sudden because your phone ring, and somebody say, well, just pray for me, or pray for my loved ones. Now, we just found out that this prayer for Yahuwah to answer his prayer, according to verse 15, for his word to be sent to you, that means something you got to do in verse 15. Read that again.
The book of James, chapter 5, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, and the prayer of the covenant shall save the sick, and Yahuwah shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Because everybody gonna slip. So he said, but the prayer of the covenant is for those. So now we're gonna precept that to the third chapter, verse 22 of 1 John. What through the third chapter, or make it the second chapter, 2:22. What do 1 John 2:22 say?
Okay. Going to 1 John chapter 2, reading verse 22. Verse 22 read, who is a liar but he that denies that Yahweh the Son is Yahweh? He is an antichrist, an anti-Yahweh, that denies the Father and the Son.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So that was an extra bonus. But that's 3:22. That was good. That's so if you deny the Father and the Son, you're really in trouble. But we just swing down to the third chapter and pick up verse 22 and keep on going down the line. Let's see what it says.
Okay. The book of 1 John, chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 22. Verse 22 read, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his Torah instructions and do these things that are pleasing in his sight.
Mm-hmm. Now he's telling you to act. He said, whatever you ask, well, I'm calling for prayer. He said, yeah. He said, yeah, okay, fine. But he says on the table, are you a covenant keeper? So that's one thing you have to make sure when somebody come to you in the sixth anointing camp and says, just pray for me. So, well, I can do that, but there's a question you got to ask. Are you a covenant keeper? And they say, not a covenant keeper. Then you have to read them exactly. You know, my zeal is to pray for you, but then he got verse 15 and 16 looking at me. Clearly, I mean, I can, you know, pray for you, but look what he say in verse 15 and 16 again one more time.
Book of James, chapter 5, verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 15 read, and the prayer of the covenant shall save the sick, and Yahweh shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much.
And to be righteous in 6:25, the chart, camp 4, to be righteous, you must be a Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. Hey, princess, what does Deuteronomy 6:25 say?
Deuteronomy 6:25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these Torah instructions before Yahweh our Yahweh, as he has commanded us.
So the Torah instruction is a commandment there, the chart. That's a commandment from Yahweh, and we just read, if you're a covenant keeper and you get yourself sick and you want Yahweh to respond to you, and he said a prayer of a righteous man will avail it much. So this righteous man can pray to Yahweh for a person that is sick. But according to what we read so far, for his word to be activated, what we got to do again that we got to do in James 5:15 as before, what we got to do according to James 5:15. Let's see what this Bible saying. Well, a lot of times, you know, you get a lot of prayer. You get a lot of people say, "Hey, well, could you pray for me?" Sure, I can pray for you. But then that's why you have to ask the question, how much covenant are you keeping? You know, because you don't want me to do nothing in vain, and you want to know why no results have happened for you. Let's even say in James 5:15 again, where we can be clear, according to the 6 and 9 camps, how to be clear about if you want your prayers answered, what can we read the chart out of camp 4, according to James 5:15?
James 5:15 says you have to be a covenant keeper.
The
prayer of the covenant keeper saved the sick.
Read the verse first, then comment. Put the verse on, put 5:15 on the table, then take your time and expound on it. Now we know you're cooking right. So put the verse, put 5:15 on the table, then be speaking from that verse. 5:15 says what?
James 5:15, and the prayer of the covenant keeper, faith, that is faith, shall save the sick, and Yahweh shall raise him up. And if he have committed, transgression, sin, they shall be forgiven him. So you have to be a covenant prayer of the covenant keeper will save the sick, and you have to be righteous.
Okay.
To do the commandments.
Okay, get it? Now you see. Now you see what we got. Because now you see what we got out of the verse that the young lion put on the table, in 107:20. So we found out that in the one that got to pray for the ones, they got to be righteous themselves. And being righteous, we find out being righteous is what again in 6:25? Can you recall what you put that verse on
the
table?
The righteous do the commandments. They do the Torah instruction.
And David pulled that in 119, 142, and 144. David pulled that, the chart. David pulled that verse from Deuteronomy 6:25. So now look what we unlearned on the way of learning something. Because a lot of times we'll get in our feelings and we'll say, would you pray for my auntie? Yeah, we can pray for your auntie. But then Yahweh got rules and regulation like everybody else got. You know, it's rules and regulation. If you run the red light, the kicking man be waiting on you because it's rules and regulations. Sure, we can pray for you, but Yahweh saying you got to explain to them his rules and regulations to get your prayers answered. So we read in James, matter of fact, young lion, read that verse 16 one more time, 5:16, then the chart had me that 119, 144, 142, and 144. But read verse 16 again now, young lion.
Okay. The book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much.
Mm-hmm. So you got more of a chance of your prayers getting somewhere if the righteous pray for those that are covenant keepers. See that? Now look what we done got out of that. Look what we done got out of that. Because sometimes you got family members will get in emotion and they'll talk about their loved ones. But their loved ones understand, I'm sure you can always pray. But if you want Yahweh to respond, then Yahweh got rules and regulations, and they must be clear that rules and regulations must be on the table, just not based upon because now that you're not feeling well. Rules and regulation goes to it. 119, a righteous person must be that can pray for those that are sick. In the covenant, a righteous person must be 119, 142, 144, Detroit, Michigan, what to say.
Psalms 119, 142, and 144. Verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy Torah instructions the truth. 144, the righteous of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to explain how Yahweh's business on healing and everything works. We have to be clear where we've been able to break it down to our loved ones. Now, let me show you how it works. Now, this is how it works, that we must be a covenant keeper, and the one that's praying for you must be righteous. Now, you got a better shot if it's Yahweh's will to overturn whatever it is, but it's something that you got to do. And see, that's why they throw the word in called grace, but understanding, not knowing the proper definition of what grace means. And let's get another one in at Detroit, 2, 11, and 12, so we can properly understand something about the meaning of the word grace. What is grace? What is that saying? Because the Catholics and the Christian church, Latter-day Saints, all of them will tell you, grace, we ain't got to do nothing but believe on him. But now we're going to find out the biblical definition of grace by going to 2 Titus 11 and 12. What does it say?
Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of Yahweh that bring of salvation has appeared to all men. 12. Teaching us that denying unyahweliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and yahweh-ly in this present world.
Mm-hmm. So now, if you have to explain grace there, Detroit, what be the first word when you, but you have to always use a scripture then expound on it. So if you have to explain according to biblical teaching on what grace means, you have to use verse 12 to tell you exactly what grace is in verse 12. So now looking at verse 12, break that verse down for this national audience about I'm not up on the law, I'm up on the grace. And here goes the answer in verse 12. Go ahead and break that down for the national audience. Go on, read again and put it down.
Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying unyahweliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, Yahweh-ly in this present world. So that's telling us that grace is a teacher. It's an action word. And it causes us to be Yahweh-ly and righteous.
And that's what we're saying, so you be clear about it. Let's go back on the stage and we're going to go back on stage and bring Mother D up Israel. That was excellent there, Detroit. So we got to be clear one thing. We cannot be where we just parakeeting things. We have to have the answer. Sure, we can pray for you. Sure. But Yahweh got rules and regulations that we have to apply as rules and regulations. Now, we just read the prayer of a righteous availeth much. But the righteous prayer must be a Torah keeper. We got to be praying for those that are a Torah keeper. So all that and grace is only giving you time to quit breaking the Torah instruction. And that's what grace is. Matter of fact, when the six anointed camps come on the network, you having grace because we're explaining you that grace is a teacher. So we can be clear how you get your blessing, but Yahweh to hear you because he's going to ask you a question. Are you praying? Are you a covenant keeper? Is the person you praying, is they a covenant keeper? If man want them add up, don't add up with Yahweh, then it's a crapshoot. So not the key. Now you got it? Good. Come back to the studio and see if we bring in our mother D up Israel. She came on stage, so mother D up Israel. Yahweh be to the right.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, mother D up Israel. See, so that's why we have to first, you know, everybody love the deep stuff. They love, but see, understand, everybody love the deep stuff, mother D up Israel, but they, everybody want to hear about end time prophecy. They want to hear all the deep stuff of that, even what's said in Hosea 6, 1 and 2. Let's read that and see what it say. They want to hear about Hosea 6, 1 and 2. What did it say there, Mother D of Israel? Hosea 6, 1 and 2.
Okay. All right. Let me get there. Hosea chapter
6. Yeah, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. There, Mother D of Israel. What do it say that we can read in Hosea chapter 6, 1 and 2? And we did have
Hosea.
International. Hold on. We had some response from the international saying, our prayers went out for Mother D of Israel, and here she is right now ready to go again. So one thing about this ministry is, unknown, but we have known according to this word. They know about the Mother D.F. Israel. No doubt about it. Mother D.F. Israel, you're on the clock. Come on.
Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, verse 1. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. Verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his...
You hear that? Today's what that's saying, right? So he have, Yahweh the Son have returned to the right hand of the Father. Because he made it plainly that he was ready to come back in the 17th chapter of Mother D of Israel 1 through 5. He made it plainly that, again, the healing process, the getting you back on your feet, this is what he says in the 17th chapter, verse 1 down to verse 5. Look what he says. You're on the clock, Mother D of Israel. Come on. St. John 17. 17, 1 through 5.
St. John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 reads, these words spake Yahweh the Son, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Honor your Son, that your Son also may honor you. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true Yahweh, and Yahweh the Son, whom thou hast. Verse 4, I have honored thee on the earth. I have finished the works
which you gavest me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, honor thou me with thine own self, with the honor which I had with you before the world was. Verse 6.
That's it. Hold on, mother. That's big talking there. Now, listen. Now, that's some powerful talking. That's some powerful reading, too. What does it say in verse 2 and 4? St. John chapter 17, verse 2 and 4 again.
St. John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 4. I have honored you on the earth. I have finished the works which thou gavest me to do.
Thank you. What works did the Father give him to do that we can precept that in 7:16 now? Most DF is, but what are these works? St. John 7:16.
St. John chapter 7. St. John chapter 7, verse 16. St. John chapter 7, verse 16. Yahuwah the Son answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me.
Well, you mean he got in all that trouble and the doctrine wasn't his, and it was a doctrine of the Father that sent him? And what was that doctrine that we can read in Proverbs 4, verse 2? You mean that Bible just told all that story? It told all of that and painted a picture. Exactly, he said, listen, what I'm bringing to the table is not mine. It's the Father that sent me. And look what he said, Proverbs 4, verse 2, that mother, D of Israel.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 2.
Just verse 2. Just verse 2. 4, 2.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 2.
For I
gave you good doctrine, good teaching. Forsake you not my Torah instruction.
Ain't that something? You mean this Bible told all that information? All that coming out of the young lion dropping the statement on 107 verse 20. All that come from 107 verse 20. See, that's how it happens to you, right? And now the Son saying, this doctrine is not mine. It's the Father that sent me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's big business. But then he tells the member spirit, would you go down and tell David something for time to come in Proverbs 31, verse 13. Now, why did this happen right here? Why did he have to tell the member spirit to go down and tell David to put this in writing on 31, verse 13? What did it say?
Proverbs chapter 31, verse 13. Huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Proverbs 31, 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand.
Now, hold on. No, I'm sorry. Thank you. You was right. That was Psalms. Psalm 31:13. I don't know why I said that. I wrote down when I heard it. Psalms 31:13. That's still the same track. Mm-hmm. Yeah, make that Psalm 31 verse 13. That mother. Yeah, you flinched because you had some, but you know when those seal, you know, dripped off a little bit. You know, hey, step in there. Now I'm gonna tell you why it's great to step in there. Hold that point. Let me show you why mother did flinch. Look what it says in 1 Kings 12, verse 6 and 7. Let me show you something. Let me show you something that we can read. Why the mother flinch when came out of my mouth Proverbs, but I was wanting to go to Psalms. Elder Mr. Teal, what did it say in 12, 6, and 7 of 1 Kings? Elder Mr. Teal. Latter-day Saints. See, we're going to mute Mr. Teal right now. Go back to the mother. Yeah. Young lion, pull up me 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Brother Micaiah, up and coming teacher out of Cap 1. What did it say?
First Kings chapter 12, verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 reads, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old man that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may ask this people? Verse 7, and they spake unto him, saying, if you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever.
You see that? So you see, that's why the ones that are around the seer and the six anointed camps, we understand that seer do evaluate your opinions, because we know your opinion is righteous, and that's why we got to stay on one accord. It ain't working until we're on one accord. Yahweh will intervene, but we have to understand the scripture. It can't be just parakeeting. Just parakeeting. You have to be in this book yourself. Because when the seer all of a sudden drifts away like I did just a minute ago, Mother Flinch, the reason why, because you know that wasn't the right scripture that we were talking about. So that's why we have to be clear that when the elder males and females of the six anointed camps tell you something, it's to your advantage to take heed to it. And so that's why we're clear about how to get to the next point, by taking heed to the Torah instruction. Now give me a precept on that. Run to Sirach 6:6 and skip down to 32 and 35. Listen to what it says that we can read. Sirach chapter 6, verse 6, there, young lion. Then skip down to verse 32 to 35.
Okay, going to the book of Sirach. Chapter 6, reading verse 6, 32, and then verse 35. Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, verse 6, read. Be in peace with me. Nevertheless, have but one counselor of a thousand. Verse 32. My son, if you will, you shall be taught. And if you will apply your mind, you shall be prudent. Verse 35.
33.
Be prudent.
33. Make it 33, 4 and 5. Listen to what he's saying now. He's saying, my son, now, listen. He's giving it. He's saying, my son. You won't be taught like my son. He's going to show you from the mouth of the seer how my son supposed to be taught. You read verse 32, read verse 33.
Okay, the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 32. 32 reads, my son, if you will, you shall be taught. And if you will apply your mind, you shall be approved. Verse 33, if you love to hear, you shall receive understanding. And if you bow your ear, you shall be wise. Verse 34. Stand in the multitude of the elders, and cleave unto him that is wise. Verse 35. Be willing to hear every Yahwali discourse, and let not the parables of understanding escape you. Verse 36.
Hold that point. Verse 34. Now listen good at verse 34. Now here goes, my son, if you really want to know and bees and growing. If you really want to know, my son, here go the keys right here. If you really want to know, my son, 34, you say have one counselor. But here go the grand slam in verse 34. What it say you got to do in verse 34?
The book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 34. 34 reads, stand in the multitude of the elders and cleave unto him that is wise.
That is right there. That's the beginning of you having the understanding. You got to stand in the multitude of the elders. You ain't going to get it no other way than you stand in the multitude of the elders. That's how you be able to soundly take it as business. Same way we read in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. If you try to come up any other way, this is what you are according to the Bible in 10:1. Let's even say in 10:1, St. John 10:1. If you do it any other way than what you just got through reading. Now we got elder men and women in the congregation of all six counties. For you to have the understanding that you need, you have to stand where the elder males and females is at to get this understanding. But if you do it any other way, you remember what the psalm said? This doctrine is not mine. It's the Father that gave it to me. He told me what to say. And that's the same thing that's passed down now. See, all this up and down spirits that we have in the congregation, because you got to get out of your feelings, because this word is for those that is internationally that wants to hear how to get out of their feelings. So we got to get out of our feelings, understand something. When we teaching the word of Yahuwah, it's not mine. Like the psalm said, it's not his. But if it's somebody to reach, remember, the brother came to class Friday, and he want to do deep stuff. You want to do deep stuff. You want to do Zechariah 13:8-10. That's deep stuff. That's just like going to Hosea 1 and 2. And the third day I'm going to raise you up. That's deep stuff. But you got to make sure you clear about the foundation before you get off into deep stuff. You got to know how to find the book called Genesis first before you get the deep stuff. So once we're in order with the foundation and understand how to get things done, Yahuwah have no choice, because one thing about it, I got to put a rabbit out of the head behind that one. Detroit. I'm going to pull a rabbit out of the head behind that one. Let's see what he says in the book of Hebrews. He said, yeah, see, that sounds pretty good, but you need to put a verse on the table. Okay? Let's go and see how I put a verse on the table behind what we just got through here in the book of Hebrews. We're trying to call Hebrews. See, he'll tell you. If you talk long enough, he'll tell you, okay, now, drop a verse on the table. Because I want this to be clearly on Kate Manning in the sixth chapter. Look what it says, and we'll pick up at verse number 12 down to verse 15. Princess Leora Israel come out of camp 4. What it says we can read in 6:12 down to verse 15. What it says that we all can read. Come on.
Hebrews 6, verse 12 to 15. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, which is covenant belief, and patience inherit the promises. Verse 13. For when Yahuwah made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, to swear by himself. Verse 14, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee and multiply. I will multiply thee, verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
After he had done what? Patiently endured. Patiently endured. So you see this. So this thing ain't a cameo. You got to go through the bumps, through the road, but you got to patiently endure this thing. That's what he's trying to tell us. See, the deep stuff, we deal with everything. Everybody want to hear some deep stuff. But what about the patiently to endure? When you hear a word, you make your shoulders go all up to the left, go to the right. No. The Bible speaks for itself. You have to wing out the one that can patiently endure the word of Yahuwah. But we found out one thing. It all lines up with the covenant. Now, Moses, D.F. Israel, let's come on back with that verse that we had in Psalms now. Because look what he, now you know he was sent to take care of some business for his father. But then he tell the Milton Spirit, get down there in 2 Samuel 23, 1, 2, and 3. We ain't going to read. Then he tell David, would you put this down in this book? He's the only one going to read it. It's the six anointed camps of voices of Jewish life. And what did he say we can read now in 31, verse 13 of the book called Psalms? What it say we can read that, Mother Israel? What it say that we can read?
Psalm chapter 31, verse 13 read, for I have heard a slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life.
Ain't that something? You hear what he's saying? He says, fear was on every side. He said they were out there communing among themselves to do what? With the prophecy, what would the community do, Mosey of Israel?
To take away my life.
Ain't that something? You mean it was already prophesied that it will be a people that was going to be communing to take away the son's life 1,000 years in advance. That's how heavy this is. 1,000 years in advance, he was told, he already knows. Guess what? A day, you know, in 1,000 years from now, it's going to be some, you know, religious leaders. They're going to come, they're going to take counsel to take away. And that's why it was said with the prophecy in 11 verse 52. So you see, this book right here is the greatest mystery in teaching. Just don't worry about what you're going to put on the table. Just come to the table. Yahuwah, in that very same hour, will give you the lesson that you need. Now, you see, they took counsel to take his life. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Now we're going to the 11th chapter of St. John, verse 50 to 52, and see exactly who did what 1,000 years after this was already told. That's why I say you watch everybody's pages of the book. See, you like to watch people based upon appearance, but he'll give you the discernment to watch whoever come before you from the pages of the book. So David was told about they're going to take counsel to take his life.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 years later, in the 11th chapter, verse 50 to 52, let's talk about it. Come on.
St. John, chapter 11, verses 50 to 52, verse 50. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. 51. And this faith, he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yahweh the Son should die for that nation. Verse 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of Yahweh that were scattered abroad.
You mean that Bible told that? You mean that Bible told that story too? So he said it would be a gathering of the peoples. It would prophesize the strategy that will be taken to take his life. Then we fast forward up 1,000 years to find out here is the religious leaders saying, you know it's written that you don't know nothing. It's already written back here in the 31st chapter. Somebody got to die. So David fulfilled the prophecy. But he said before that happened, it got to be a gathering of the peoples to him to know where it's at. Ain't that something? You mean this Bible telling all this dirt? Back up, mother, and all got to happen again. Look at Genesis 49, verse 1. Then we're going to look at 8 through 10 and verse 12. So, you see, that's all they keep telling you, Steve Reyes. Sooner or later, you will recognize. Hold on, before that point, help me out there, young line. Go to Ezekiel 33 and pick up verse 30 down to verse 33. You know, sooner or later, it's going to come to your attention about something that's written. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 down to verse 33. What does it say?
In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 30 down to 33, verse 30 reads, also you, son of man, the children of the people still are talking against you by the walls and in the doors of the temple, and spake one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes forth from Yahweh. Verse 31, and they come unto you as the people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear the word, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but with their mind go after their covetousness. Verse 32, and lo, you are unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do them not. Verse 33, and when this comes to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a seer has been among them.
He says, soon later they're going to recognize the signs of the time that a seer is among them. You don't know what you're going to be doing? You might be washing clothes. Soon or later you're going to put it together that a seer is among you. And because soon or later you'll put down your spirit and stop being a Sirach 31:24. Let's see what it says in Sirach 31. Because see, they use a word that a word they use, but they don't know the proper meaning of the word, but they put the word on the table, and then you get all excited because the word is said to you. But understand, in this lesson 90, it'll tell you this word only means what? Sirach 31:24.
The book is Sirach, chapter 31, verse 24. Verse 24 reads, but against him that is a nigger, of his meat, the whole city shall murmur, and the covenant of this niggerness shall not be doubted of.
You see, he says, when you are covenant of your meat, it's all about me, 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 just what we talking about me, just me, me, me. That makes you a nigger. A nigger is a covenant breaker. I always will see something totally different than what's brought out. See, a nigger don't have a color on it. Man just put a color on it. A nigger means you contrary to Yahweh's laws which call Torah keeping. That's what makes you a nigga. We just read about your prayers. If your prayers got you where you are a covenant keeper, then you not a nigga. But when you are non-covenant keeper, that make you a nigga. And you be a nigga at the table, because everything that come out your mouth will be niggerish according to the covenant. So we get excited when we hear the word called nigga. A nigga only means you're not a covenant keeper. That's contrary to what the lesson is that Yahweh got to get your prayers answered. So that makes, so it ain't about color being a nigga. It's about understanding if you're a covenant keeper, you're not a nigga. But if you a covenant not keeper, then you're a nigga. Read it again. Read that. 31:24. Read it again.
The book of Torah, chapter 31:24. Read. But against him that is a nigger of his meat, the whole city shall mumble, and the covenant of his niggerness shall not be doubted of.
You see, you be, see, you can be a nigger when you let your meat have you at a point that you put the covenant behind you, because it's all about you. Me, 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 me. See? That makes you a nigga. When you don't put Yahweh first and his covenant, so that's the biblical definition of a nigga. That all he thinks about himself, but not the nation. The thing is about building the nation, and the only way you're going to do that, you got to be a covenant keeper. If you're not a covenant keeper, then you're a nigga at the table. There's a good deal. You're a nigga at the table. And they're showing your reaction. You be up one side, down one side, certain words that complicate you and make you get schizophrenic. You all over the place. You would not follow the order of Yahweh's word. He told you plainly to receive his words, how you got to receive it. But you go contrary with it and you come up another way. Did we read 10:1? Did we read 10:1 young line of St. John?
No.
Not we need 10:1. So the same word can be applied being a nigga. See, a nigga is those that is a 10:1 in St. John. In Israel. What does it say?
The book of St. John, chapter 10. Picking it up there. Verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climb up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber."
Or the same as a nigga. The same to try to come up another way. Same word. So you see, this is what you have to recognize fixing on the camp through this book. If for Yahweh to intervene, he applies rules and regulations, and that's why he made it plain and said about what he that he do. And let's see what he say he do. But Micaiah, let's see what he say he do in the 14th chapter. See, if you don't want to be a nigga at the table, you ain't got to do no colors. All you got to remember to not be a nigga at the table, you have to follow the rules and regulations, because it's written in the book. Do you remember? The birth spoke for itself. And 31:24, don't be a nigga at the table. That means you kind of come up another way. So in St. John chapter 14, it makes a profound statement in the 14th chapter that we can read. It says, this is what he says. In the 14th chapter, he made it plain. And let's see what he says. 14:31. What do you say that we can read in 14:31?
The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 31. 31 reads, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me Torah instruction, commandments, Even so I do. Arise, let us go here.
You see that? So the father didn't call his son a nigger. You know why he didn't call him a nigger? Because he kept the father's Torah instruction. So you see it didn't, you see it didn't see right. So we get all juggling when we hear that word. We get all frantic about that word. That word is a broad word since they want to use the word. Is those that's not keeping the Torah instruction. That's what you are. And to be a non-nigger, then you got to keep the Torah instruction. Right? That is right now. So let's precept that to the last two verses in the 12th chapter of St. John. Bo Micaiah. The last two verses in St. John. 12.
All right. The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 31, the last two verses. As the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go here.
49 and 50. St. John, chapter 12, 49 and 50.
Okay. The book of St. John, chapter 12, verse 49 and verse 50. Verse 49 reads, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, Torah instruction, what I should say and what I should speak." Verse 50. "And I know that his commandment, Torah instruction, is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak."
So you see what you gotta do? And you can't be a 233, and you can't be a 233 or Jeremiah. What does it say in 233?
Okay. The book of Jeremiah. For the chapter 2, read verse 33. 33 reads, "Right trim you your way to seek love. Therefore has you also taught the wicked one the way?"
Yeah, well, you're saying that as a question, but that's a flat-out statement. Read like a statement, not like a question. Read it again.
Okay, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 33. 33 reads, "Why trim you your way to seek love? Therefore has you also taught the wicked ones your ways."
You see that? So you see what you do? So when you make a decision, especially in anointed leadership, you cannot make a decision based upon your feelings. You got to make a decision according to the, you can't trim your ways to seek the love. You got to make a decision according to Yahuwah's word. That is the game changer right there. You got to access everything according to what you're looking at, then apply the medicine, which is the word of Yahuwah, and stand on it. That is the key. So you can't trim your way to get along with anybody. You got to make sure you stay in line with Yahuwah. And when you do that, you have the spirit of Yahuwah over you. If you don't do it, you will not have the spirit of Yahuwah over you. So now we clear that it's easy for you to be called a nigger. But Yahuwah the Son was never called a nigger by the Father. Why? Because he done what the Father told him to do. And when you're doing what's written in this book, then that make you not a nigger. But if you not doing what's written in this book, that make you a nigger. Now, there it is right there. And the nigger and the thief is the same word. You're coming up another way. You're out of order. And anytime you're out of order, it always will show up. If you don't seek counseling, then you will have egg on your face. That's why certain things come up, and then you have egg on your face. Because you try to come up another way. You try to be sneaky. You don't do it according to the prophecy of the Bible or the anointed leadership. Then you have egg on your face. You shorted in the midget behind it because you get out there and make statements, and it's not aligned with the book. And then when knowing leadership examine what you put on the table, Now your magic, now your feelings hurt. You know how your feelings hurt? Look another way. And it happens every time. That's why you got to first, before you do anything, seek anointed counseling. Then you line with the book. Case in point, Detroit, Michigan. Let's run to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 to get a case in point. And we show you exactly what he's saying. Proverbs 11, 14, Detroit, Michigan, come on.
Proverbs 11, verse 14, and it reads, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Ain't that something? And that's the same thing for everybody in the multitude of elders. So now if you get counseling, you won't fall. You won't make a statement, and then soon it get wind on anointed leadership. Now you got egg on your face by making statements that cannot be verified because you want to come up another way. So now, but if you did this first, that'd have been corrected before you got out there. Read it again. Proverbs 11:14 more time.
Proverbs 11, verse 14. So is the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
That's big talk. And how we know when you get the wise counseling, let's see exactly what we're supposed to see in Galatians 5:22. Now go to 5:22. So we know he's getting good counseling because we know the action of it. Let's use it in Galatians 5:22. Now since I went missing that word action, I got to put a precept about that. Go ahead. What it say in Galatians 5:22?
Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, being a covenant believer.
Mm-hmm. But that only works if you do what? In Proverbs 11, verse 14. That only works if you got to 11:14 of Proverbs. So understand something. If you watch everybody from the pages of the book, you will tell exactly where you're getting your counseling from. Now, if you come and leave like that, then we know you got to 11:14 of Proverbs. What does it say?
Proverbs 11:14. And it reads, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Mm. And not only safety, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3 says what? I'll read verse 2 and 3, make it sound good. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse, let me tell you something. Because sooner or later, 6 anointed camps, you're going to be on the clock. You got to understand what the Bible's saying. You can't be Tweety Bird or parakeet, anything. You got to meet them where they're at and recognize the signs of time. Because you cannot drop into deep things until they understand exactly the protocol of Yahuwah. You will have egg on your face. And then you'll see, then we see that spirit in you would not be a 5:22. See, all you got to do is watch. All you got to do is watch. If the spirit of them coming and going is a 5:22, that means they're getting and receiving great counseling. But if they leave and they can't even just about give a closing statement of everything and the clothes only touch the skin, then you know one thing. See, they come another way. See, you can watch them all from the page of the book. See, all this way is going to come up when you better see. When they leave, after they hearing a word of Yahuwah, like I said, the counsel is not mine. The song said the counsel is not his. The doctrine is not man one of ours. It is the Father's. And all we're doing is putting it on the table. So all this seeking, trying to take somebody's life or make them scared on every side, you're really wasting your time. Because the doctrine is not ours. We're just showing you what you look for when you put things together for Yahuwah to be the overseer of it. They come in demeanor, have to be a 5:22 or Galatians, and they leave in demeanor, must be a Galatians 5:22. Now, just watch what I tell you, and now you watch the faces on their coming in and going out. You got it? Good. What you reading?
1 Samuel 2, verse 2 and 3.
Yeah, what it say?
Verse 2. There is none righteous as Yahuwah, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like Yahuwah. Verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for Yahuwah is a Yahuwah of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed.
That's nice. Once you know that you got it, you're going to see the same spirit. The same spirit that come in, the same spirit going to leave out. That's nice. You don't know when they got the spirit of Yahuwah. Like I said, in that very same hour. You know they're coming in and they're going out because you're watching from the pages of the Bible. That's good stuff with them. That's good stuff. All right, that was excellent. Now, Mother D.F. Israel, that was good stuff. Because, see, we've seen the best of them. It's on the book of Tobit, chapter 4, 18. We're going to Tobit chapter 4, verse 18. Let's see if we can read a little bit in Tobit chapter 4, verse 18, that Mother D of Israel. Tobit chapter 4, verse number 18. Listen to this.
Okay, right.
Tobit chapter 4, verse 18. So,
okay.
See, once we is ready, the anointed leadership will know when you're ready because you're coming in will be a 5:22. Your leaving out will be a 5:22. If you see that the 5:22 didn't come in and the 5:22 did not even come out, they always got something laying behind in their brains that ain't going to work. And then you better show soundly, that's why they leave. They come with egg on their face, and they'll leave with egg on their face because they come as a nigger. And the definition of nigger means, St. John 10:1, you try to come up another way, and that makes you a thief nigger another way. That's what we mean. That's what we read in 31, so that could be anybody. Got nothing to do with shades of color. Is that when you try to come up another way than the order that Yahuwah got written in the table. So if you're clear, but you got to have that verse to be always able to be able to read it, and read one more time, Brother Micaiah, Sirach 31:24. For all the new listeners that I'm hearing, I'm packed on the international side, but to be clear, what we're talking about, that is not a color that makes you a nigga. It's what you bring to the table. Make you a nigga. Let's see what it says. It's in Sirach 31:24.
The book of Sirach, chapter 31, verse 24. 24 reads, but against him that is a nigger of his meat, the whole city shall mumble, and the covenant of his niggerness shall not be doubted of.
You see that? Because all he thinking about himself. And that same thing he says in the 45th chapter, precept that, the 45, verse 1 of Jeremiah. Now I'm going to show you another nigger that was called out Ezra and 45 verse 1. Here go another nigga that was called out. Let's see what happened. 45 verse 1 of Baruch. Jeremiah.
Book of Jeremiah.
Yeah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 45 verse 1.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 45, verse 1. Verse 1 reads. The word that Jeremiah the seer spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah the seer, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, polluted word for Yahdah's saint.
Go ahead.
Verse 2. Thus says Yahuwah, the Yahuwah of Israel, to you, O Baruch. Verse 3. You did say, woe is me now, for Yahuwah have added grief to you to my sorrow. I fainted in my sight, and I find no rest. Verse 4. Thus shall you say unto him, Yahuwah said thus, behold, the which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted, I will pluck up, even this whole land. Verse 5. And seek you great things for yourself. Seek them now, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, says Yahuwah. But your life will I have, but your life will I give unto you for a prey in all places, whether you go.
Now see that? Now Yahuwah told the seers, tell old Baruch, the scribe, the one that wrote down what Baruch of Jeremiah saying. He said, now you go tell old Baruch something. He worried about his old piece of place. He worried about his well being. I'm gonna take down the whole nation of Israel, and he worried about his meat. So he became a nigga at the table. All you worry about what's coming to him, not the whole nation. I'm getting ready to take down the whole nation. Guess what? Yahuwah now is ready to build a whole nation. So if you're ready to build a whole nation, you got to find the brothers and sisters that's understanding it's building time now. Not in your own feelings. It's time to build. Just as Yahuwah told Jeremiah to pluck it down and build it back up, this is what time we're in right now. So the sixth anointed council got to get out of our feelings being a nigga and understand one thing. It's time to build a nation, but the only way you're going to build it is understand the rules and regulations according to what's written in building the nation. What signs we got to do for Yahuwah to recognize we're doing his will, not our own will, not our own belly, by being up and down on scriptures. We got to understand one thing. The end is near. We got to get in order to lead by example. But if we don't come out of our feelings, it ain't going to work for you. But it's going to work because it's written that it's going to work. So when scripture's coming out, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's Yahuwah, the Father's word that was passed down to the Son, to the members of the spirits, to the seers, to the elders, to the mothers, and to the children. That is the order about that. So we got to get this thing together, because one thing about it, time is not in our favor, because Yahuwah will make his move whether you like it or not. Let's run to, let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 17 through 20, young line. What it say in Matthew chapter 10, verse 17 down to verse 20.
Okay, the book of Matthew. Well, Matthew chapter 10, verse 17 down to 20.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17 reads, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their verse 18, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a covenant against them and the Gentiles. Verse 19, But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. Verse 20, for it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speak in you.
Ain't that something? You can understand? They'll get so offended about what we bring to the table, but it's not that you're hearing the voice speaking, but you're not hearing what's coming behind that dictating the lesson because you're off in your carnal mind. So you see what he said in verse 20? Read verse 20 again.
The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 20. Verse 20 reads, for it is not you that speak, Spirit of your Father which speak in you.
Look, and look at Latter-day Saints there. Can you give me a second witness on that? Go to Mark chapter 13, verse 11 now. You online? What do Mark 13, 11 say?
Okay. The book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. For whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak you. For it is not you that speak, but the righteous Spirit.
You see, that's the part. That's the part we got. See, that's the, and that'll keep you from being, you know, certain things that make you high. Certain statements make you low. You disembobulated. You come up another way. You got to avoid all that if you just play by the rules that's written, because the rules is not going to change. You'll come with the right spirit, and you will leave with the right spirit. But when you got anything on you that is not right, it will be revealed in 32:23. And what it say? In the book of Numbers 32:23. What does it say that we can read?
Okay. Going to the book of Numbers, chapter 32, picking up at verse 23. The book of Numbers, chapter 32, verse 23. 23 reads, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Yahweh, and be sure, your sin will find you out.
See that? So whatever you do in the park, in the dark, it's going to find you out. That's why when you try to avoid anointed leadership and come up another way, you can tell when you be exposed. It's like throwing a brick over in a pack of dogs and one holler. Then all of a sudden you hear him holler. You see that? Because you try to come up another way, and Yahweh already was clear that he knew what you was going to do before you did it in the page of the book. He knew who you were going to set up to put your bid on the table, and then you're going to try to justify what you put on the table, and now you got egg on your face. You see? It happens every time because you try to come up another way. If you come up the way properly, you'll come with a Galatians 5:22. And you will leave with a Galatians 5:22. But if anything between it, you know one thing. You had some on your mind, and then Yahweh made it plain in Ezekiel chapter 20, pertain to that figure of verse 2. What does it say in Ezekiel chapter 20? So I'm telling you something. Once we of the six anointed camps learn exactly how Yahweh works, boy, you have more sweet sleep, less restless nights, because you better see through everybody what they at, getting down and reading the Bible. You'll recognize the one that come up another way every time. And this is what Yahweh said in the 20th chapter. He made a final statement at Brother Mackay. He said something in the 20th chapter we can read. What he said in the 20th chapter, verse number two, down to verse four.
okay? The book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, picking up at verse 2. Verse 2 reads, then came the word of Yahweh to me, saying, verse 3, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, thus says Yahweh, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, says Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. Verse 4, will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them, cause them to know the abominations of their fathers?
Mm-hmm. Now tell me something. According to verse 4, who supposed to do what according to verse 4? According to verse 4, what do verse 4 say is supposed to be done that we can read? Read that verse 4 and expound on it again there, young line. Put verse 4 on the table again and expound on it.
Okay. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers.
Mm-hmm. What's that saying?
He's telling the son of man to judge them. Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers.
Mm-hmm. But what did he say, Dave? You can't judge me. You can't judge me. You judge every time you you go to court, don't a man up there judging you, you understand that? But you don't understand what he just said there. Yeah, you see, you said it right there in verse 4. Yeah. Son of man, judge him. Show him where he at. Show him that they worry about deep stuff and understand one thing. There ain't no deep stuff coming to a nigga. A nigga is those that contrary to the Torah instruction of Yahweh. Because you don't come as a 522, you're supposed to leave as a 522 in Galatians. If that spirit is not on you on the coming and the going out, then that make you a nigga. Because you try to come up another way. That make you a thief nigga. Or a nigga thief. One or the other. For one thing about it. The Bible's going to expose you. The word of Yahweh going to draw you, or it's going to drive you. As far as east meets the west. But one thing the word of Yahweh is going to do, it's going to expose you. It's going to tell exactly. And that's why we're going back to understand Mother D. F. Israel, what he said in the 49th chapter, 8 through 10, and verse 12. Now because we've done all that to get back to Mother D. F. Israel in the 49th chapter, verse 1, 8 through 10, and verse 12. We've done all that to show you that you're not going to get around the order of things, and we cannot trim our ways to seek love and get out of order Yahweh to please us. Do that make us the same thing that make them? If we try to come up another way than what was prophesied in 49 verse 1, 8 through 10 and 12. You all must be able to come out.
Genesis chapter 49 verses 1 and verses 8 to 10 and verse 12. Verse 1, Genesis 49:1. And Israel called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Verse 8, Yahdah Judah, thou art he whom your brother shall praise. Your hand shall be in the neck of thine enemy. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Verse 9. Yahdah Judah is the lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stoops down. He crouches as a lion and as an old lion. Whom shall raise the scepter, the Torah instruction, shall not depart from Yahdah Judah. nor the Torah instruction from between his feet until Shiloh, Yahuwah the Son, come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Verse 12. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his feet white with milk, and his teeth white with milk. You know why I said
that? Hey, you read that with conviction there, Mother Dear of Israel. I love it. You laid it out exactly how it's going to be, and that's just the way it is. So the Latter-day Saints, Dolan out of the Roman Catholic Church over there in New York, the WCC, World Council of Churches, it is what it is. The word going to be in the hand of Yahjah Judah until the coming of Yahuwah the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You read the prophecy of it. Then, 500 years later, Moses came in 33, verse 1 and 7, and said, what do you say we can read that, Mother Day of Israel? Deuteronomy 33, 1 and 7. See, once we clear about it, then we is prepared to wait on those that going to come with the spirit of 5:22 Galatians, and they're supposed to leave you with a 5:22 Galatian spirit. And those that do not, then you know one thing. They're there for the wrong reason because they're not here for the word. That ain't going to change. You got to be about the word. The word will bring you in as a 5:22, and you will leave a 5:22 of Galatians because you accept what's written because you know it ain't no way of getting around it. 33:1-7 says what?
Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 to 7.
1 and 7.
Oh, 1 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 and verse 7. Verse 1 reads, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of Yahuwah, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Verse 7, and this is the blessing of Yahjah Judah. And he said, hear Yahuwah, the voice of Yahjah Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemy.
Now, what is that saying for this national to understand this, Mother? What is he saying in that verse number 33, 1 and 7? What is he saying? What is he telling us to understand today? How it's going to be? What is he saying?
The blessing is in Yahjah Judah's hand.
And that's the end of it. And that's the end of it. Once we understand that, so I don't care what kind of miracles you see unfolding, what you see people can find their $10, what building going up, a building coming down. Understand one thing. Give me what I need, young lion. Give me Thomas 3. See, we got to understand something. We're not going anywhere in the eyes of Yahuwah to be understanding one thing. We got to understand what he told Thomas in verse 3. You got to understand it. What did he say that we can read?
The book of Thomas, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, Yahuwah the Son said, if those who lead you say to you, see the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourself, then you will become known, and you will realize that it is you who are the sons of the living Father. But if you will not know yourself, you dwell in prophets, and it is you who are that prophet.
When you don't know yourself, you're a nigga. When you don't know yourself, you're a nigga. And you know the whole world don't know who they are neither, so that makes them a nigga too. Ain't got nothing to do with color. When you don't know what this man's saying, and he got laid out in his book, that's why we got to be clear that what's written in Luke chapter 10, pick up verse 11. We'll read so we get our point. Luke 10, verse 11. That's why it got to be a ministry that must set up the standards. It's a standard that must be set up. Because when you're not doing what the man telling you to do that you can read, that put in it, if you don't come as a Galatians 5:22, not only that, you're going have to be a Galatians 5:22. If it's anything other than that, we know one thing, the eyes suspect on you because you got something in your head and you're always going to get egg on your face when you're talking from another way. And we've seen that over the weekend in the ministry. We've seen try to come up another way that always end up on the short end because the Bible going to put you on the short end because you already got that idol in your head. You look at them. They come before me as my people, but they already got some kind of trap sitting in their own head, but it ain't going to work. And we got to catch them traps and condemn it through the pages of the book that it ain't going to work. One way to Yahuwah is what is written. And we apply what's written, then we no longer a nigga. If we continue to try to the 2:33 of Jeremiah, seek love from another angle, then we become a nigga again. A nigga is those that contrary to what is written that produce a Galatians 5:22. That's what we got out of the first verse that the young lion put on the table. That's what we get out of this lesson from that point right there. So we got to watch you from the pages of the book. What are we reading?
We're in the book of Luke, chapter 10, picking it up at verse 1.
Verse 11.
Book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, even the very dust of your city, which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of Yahweh is come now unto you. Verse 12, but I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Verse 13, woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty work had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 14.
Hold that part, I want to back up a little bit more and pick around by verse number 8. Pick around by 7-11. Listen, give me 7-11. What did it say?
Okay, the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 7 down to 11. Verse 7 reads, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Verse 8. For into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you.
Hold on. I'm missing a verse. I'm missing something there in that 10th chapter. Because it's something I need to bring out in that Luke chapter 10 there, young lion. I got to bring out something in that verse 10 that got to come out. Because one thing about it, you want to recognize these things according to this Bible. back up and let's back up a little bit further to what he says in verse number 5. I'm looking for something he's going to say, then I can take it from there in verse 5. Let's see what he says that we can read in verse 5. 10, verse 5.
Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, and a 2, whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Verse 6, and if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Verse 7, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hair.
No, I'm looking for a key word. I'm looking for a key word, and I don't want to bring it out. I want the Bible to bring it out. Let's try Matthew chapter 10 then. I got to bring out a word. It's a word I want to bring out there, and it's going to be a sign to bring out that he says in that, well, I'm all over the place right now, but I'm looking for a word that he says that we can read, Brother Micaiah. It's a word that I'm looking for. Let's try Matthew chapter 10 and pick up verse number 9. It's a word I'm looking for. That's I'm looking for. So I tell you, we'll pick it up at our verse number 11, and we'll reach out and get the word. It's the word I'm looking for that's going to kick off something. I got to hear the word, and this is very important. Let's see what it says in Matthew chapter 10 and pick up verse number 11.
Okay. Going to the book of Matthew chapter 10, pick it up at verse 11. Verse 11 reads, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go there. Verse 12, and when you come into a house, salute it. Verse 13, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you.
Back up one verse. He said, now when you come to a God's house of worshiping, temple site, wherever you go, he said, what you got to do is do what again? Back up again what he said you got to do.
The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, and when you come into a house, salute it.
Stop right there. Then you're going to find out exactly when you come into any place you go at, you have to salute it. Now, what that supposed to mean? Hold that point right there. We got to get the L in and get a closing statement. He said when you come into place, you have to salute it. Detroit, Michigan, back up to Judges chapter 5, verse 9. What do you mean? That when you come in a place, you got to, what are you telling them about? This is what he's trying to tell you, Sister Nona Camp. When you come into a place, you salute it. Now let's see what he's talking about. Let's go to Judges 5, verse 9, what it say. Detroit, come on.
Judges 5. Verse 9, and it reads, and she, oh, that's verse 4, verse 5, verse 9, my mind is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Blessed be Yahweh.
Ain't that something? What she just got through doing then? She let her know her mind was at. It was toward the government, the governors of Israel. And what did she do? She just saluted the place that she was at. And when you salute of the six anointed camps, what you supposed to say again?
Verse 9 of Judges 5, my mind is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Blessed be Yahweh.
So how do you salute any place that you go? What do you want? What do you supposed to say again? Give me what I'm supposed to say now, Detroit. What are you supposed to say when you enter into wherever you at? You supposed to say what? Give me what I need. Give me what I need. Detroit?
Blessed be Yahweh.
You're saying that's a question. You're not saying you're saying that's a question.
Yeah.
I need
to ask.
So when you enter into any place that you go, what do you supposed to do in anointed leadership when you go to an establishment? What do you supposed to say out of your mouth?
Blessed be Yahweh.
Excellent, but you kind of chimney with that. You kind of chimney with it. So the point we're making here, he's telling you something. Salute the place that you go into. So now you got to find out what you're supposed to get and return. When you say what you say, you got to find out what will be returned back to you. Then you know what to do while you enter into that place. So now once you say what you just got through saying, what is the response that we can read in Ruth 2 verse 4, Detroit? What is the response? See, the table got to be set. He said the word is not going to pass from Yahweh Judah until Yahweh the Son go. But he said you got to get your salute right. And getting your salute right, you know where you at when you get a return answer according to Ruth 2 verse 4.
2 verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Yahweh be with you. And they answered him, Yahweh bless you.
Ain't that something? You see what this man is trying to tell you? So when you get on your journeys, when you step into the establishment where you're at, what do the first things you're supposed to say and what you're supposed to get and receive? Tempo, you on.
The salute when you enter into a place. Blessed be Yahweh.
And what you
and,
gonna
be Yahweh in Ruth 2:4. Yahweh be with you.
That's not powerful enough. That's not. Moses of Israel. Break that down, Moses of Israel. Come on in that Ruth 2 verse. Tell me, break that down, and first read it and break it down with more conviction. Come on. Moses of Israel.
I was still at Judges. You said go to Ruth?
Yeah, come back to Ruth 2 verse 4.
Ruth chapter 2 verse 4. And it reads, and behold, Bozrah came from Bethlehem and said unto the reaper, Yahweh be with you. And they answered him, Yahweh bless you.
Mm-hmm. So take number 90, break that down for this national to hear exactly our end and what their end is. break that down. Let me see, I hear a little bit more plain.
Well, when we greet one another, we say, Yahqua be with you. And they respond, Yahqua bless you.
Excellent. That's the response you want. If you don't receive that response, now come on back, Brother Micaiah. Now look what Yahqua is saying. He's making a profound statement over in Matthew's chapter 10. Now picking it back again in verse number 11. He's making a profound statement here. Look what he says. Matthew 10 and 11.
The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till you go there. Verse 12. And when you come into a house, salute it. Yahweh be with you.
Okay. So when you drop Yahweh be with you, what do you want in return?
Yahweh bless you.
Excellent. Now, read the next verse.
Verse 13. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. 14. And whatsoever shall not receive you. Verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your word, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verse 15. Truly, I say unto you, it shall be more charitable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Verse 18.
Excellent. Right there. Right there. Now what did you get out of that, young lion? Now what did you get out of that Matthew chapter 10, verse 11 to 17? What did you sum that up? We have read enough. So now what did you get out of that? Because sooner or later it's gonna be Detroit. Mr. Give me Luke 10:1 the closing statement. Luke 10:1 the closing statement. Sooner or later it's gonna happen.
Luke 10:1. After these things, Yahqua appointed over 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come.
Ain't that something? So Yahqua gonna send you out there two by two. Every nation upon the sun, and he gonna be with you. But you gotta understand one thing: you can tell what you're walking through by the way you salute the place when you walk in. But a loud voice, you gotta salute the place by saying, "Yahweh be with you." With a loud voice, and if you don't have a return of Yahweh bless you, then you know dead and damn. You bag up and go by the place.
That's
you
right.
See that? So you see, mm-hmm. But the show us, he's showing you exactly where you won't be put up you don't want to be where a point you where I thought it'd be like this. No. Yahqua gave you the keys exactly what you got to do. And matter of fact, let me show you what kind of boss you got to have in Detroit. Come on back. Come on back to 1 Kings. See, he tell him to something. And we start tell you what we're going to be looking for and what you got to look for. And understand, if you want Yahweh to be the 18, 19 with you, among the two that go there, you got to play by the rules. When you walk in the door in 1 Kings chapter 8, come on, Detroit, let's get this in the closing statement and bring our elder in. See, we got to understand one thing. We got milk. All we need is our Bible. And Yahweh got it from there. You got to play it by his rules. His rules. And you can't trim your way to seek love. You got to play it by his rules. You know what he said in 1 Kings? Chapter 56 in the closing statement at Detroit, Michigan. Come on, make it plain.
1 Kings 8:5-6.
No, make it base 55 and 56.
First Kings chapter 55. 1 Kings 8:55. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice.
Hold that point right there. So he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice saying what? What did he say? And 56. What did he say with a loud voice?
Blessed be Yahweh that has given rest unto his
That's it. Blessed be Yahweh. So when you walk into a establishment, wherever you're going, and it's time to come, you got to go in and you got to sweep the place. But you can't be thumbing around saluting it like you could put a question on the table. You want to see the response to come in, you got to walk in the door by saying, so whatever the establishment is, Yahweh be with you. And they look at you like you, then you know it's a trap. Because they don't respond by saying what?
What's the trap?
Answer them. Closing statement of Detroit, you on the clock, come out. What's the closing statement behind that?
Hallelujah, qua. Hallelujah, qua. Hallelujah, qua.
Come on, y'all, Elder, in for his closing statement, Elder. Elder McTiff, you on the clock for your closing statement. So now you're seeing exactly what you got to do in time to come. He called in from the beginning. So you know when you're invited to any place, when you go into the place that you're invited to come, for whatever meaning it is, you got to salute the place. And your salute is Yahweh be with you. And you're supposed to hear with a loud voice what, Brother Micaiah?
Yahweh bless you.
Then you know to come on in there. Then you know you come on in. If you don't hear that, then you know one thing. He says, shake the dust off your feet and go on about your business. So you see how this is the greatest piece of liturgy it is. If they don't have that, then you know it's a trap. You've been set up. And remember, Mother Red, the setup is to take your life. And that's what Mother Red, when she read, Mother Dear of Israel read, in that 31st chapter of Psalm. They dare to take my life because you didn't get the best when you said, in return, you done your part, but they was already set up to take your life. Because they didn't respond the way the Bible was supposed to respond. They probably said a loud voice, Yahweh bless you. Then you keep on coming. But if you didn't hear that, then you know one thing. Hey, y'all, let's go. Get back off into, take her back to the airport. We're not even coming in. Because we know right then and there, a trap set up in there. Because what you didn't receive It's the order of Yahweh. He told you what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to get in return. Hey, all Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock and you're closed begging part number 90. But the floor is yours and you're on the clock. Come out.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. And looks like I have to say Yahweh has answered my prayers for Mother GF Israel from quick recovery and quick health and strong sounding voice. Well, I have to say Yahweh be with you, and Yahweh has blessed your return with strong voice. I usually say my statement shows in this that it takes a few minutes to find something special in a person.
Mm-hmm.
And an hour or so to appreciate them, a day to love them. But it takes an entire life to forget them when they're gone, or they don't show.
Mm-hmm.
This shows that our work in Yahweh is not in vain. Because in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, this shows what I'm saying. For Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work of labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So this shows that we all miss you and glad for your return. So knowing
Hallelujah.
Us, we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast and Sister GF Israel's return. Welcome and thank all of you for attending our broadcast. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost and always about Yahweh's word. Having people ask us, how can we get this much stuff out of this one book? Learn how to precept that Bible. Learn how to connect the books, your health, which we have prayed for, your food that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not. This is information that we all came to seek. Have to look no further. It's here in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadah. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of Sabbath, for those of you who don't know, the current time is Friday, starting at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class at 12 p.m., which we're glad to see more members attending that class. And we have an online class from 2 to 5. Until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. That website address is tribeyada.com. After you click enter, just under Big Lion, you will see choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you might see menu. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember, well, it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh your considered people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh, live. Also for building a school that I can see is very well needed. We have a few preachers that could attend that school also. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of. Hallelujah. Also out there, we do have a calendar. Check that calendar to help keep you, your family, and friends, including myself, in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This feature is only available during live broadcast time, and it works well for those who can't call the live broadcast line. to do that on your computer, tablet, or smart device. Enter Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have a couple of email addresses. The first is Tribe Yadah. That spelling is TRIBEYHDH at gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL at gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. We even have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. And also, by calling this number, you can order what we have known by our numbers as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you give us the correct name and correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. The seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos, and even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. This stuff is almost too hard to remember. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 today, except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And once again, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Just choose the program that you were late logging into, or at that point, you can pick any particular day that you would like to listen. Now, another good note. During the normal Broad Talk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk Live, where the sound is crystal clear. You can find us on Pal Talk under Ethnic Group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any question on that we discussed during our class will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel, writing as shotgun. During this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But remember, when given the scriptures to speak, we often say, when the scriptures are given to speak by the seer, be quick to hear, slow to speak. So the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we're on an international broadcast with hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the joyful words of Yahuwah. We're not the authors of confusion, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, but we are of understanding. So we'll pass our program back to our seer Israel. Keep your Bibles open. Our program is yet to continue. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah.
Yahuwah on that. We're going to run back and grab Mother D.F. Israel and look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 down to verse 10. But one thing about it, see right here. Once we in order, Yahuwah coming in. But now he's telling you, what pleases him is how you meet and greet those you will come in contact with. You be able to tell if they for you or they got a trap for you by even in your salute. Yahuwah be with you. If they look, that means they not there for the right reason. But that means if they have studied it and willingly, they'll say with a loud voice, Yahweh bless you. Because their word would be accountable. But if they got a trap for you, you caught it right then and there. Then you know how to get to you with. How to just bag up. Let's go. All right. Let's see what he says over here. And he's telling us something right now in Deuteronomy 6:6-10. Because we got to stop always being a reactive, and we got to proact. We got to lead the way of the action where it's weighed in. Not always because you don't follow the order of the Bible. Let's see what he says we got to do, our mother dear of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 down to verse 10 says what?
Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 6 to 10, verse 6 reads, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thine mind. Verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sittest in thine house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you raise up. Verse 8, and you shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and you shall be as, and wait a minute, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Verse 9, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gate. Verse 10, and it shall be when Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall have brought you into the land which he sware unto your father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Israel, to give you goodly city which you buildest not.
Mm-hmm. So who is our forefathers that we can read that mother dear of Israel? Because everybody wants to tell us our forefathers might be somebody. Who is our forefather we can read?
Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
You see that? That's all you got to put on the table. That's who. That's one of Tobit chapter 4:18. Tobit chapter 4:18. See, the Bible tells us to tell y'all, all we got to do one thing, make a decision according to the Bible. Let's see what we can read in 4:18.
Tobit chapter 4:18. Ask counsel of all that are wise, and despise not any counsel that is profitable.
You see, it tells them to do. Ask counsel that is wise. Find out the one that understands and stop jumping out there thinking you own something. And let's get one more in. And let's see what it says in the book of Hebrews, fluid title called Hebrews, chapter 5, 12 through 14, Mother Dear of Israel. So he tell me something. Hebrews 14, ask counsel. Don't just jump out there because you're always going to get egg on your face and think you own something, and you ain't not gonna be on nothing. And then you're gonna be confounded because you try to come up another way, being a nigger, a thief nigger, a nigger thief. That's all you've been. But if you ask counsel, you have a Galatians 5:22, and you leave with a Galatians 5:22. There it is. All you do, watch the page on the page of the book. Tobit chapter 4:18.
You told me to go to what?
Chapter 4:18.
That's what I just read.
Yeah, read it again. Tobit chapter 4:18. Mother of Israel.
Tobit chapter
4. Yes, ma'am.
Tobit chapter 4:18. Ask counsel of all that are wise, and despise not any counsel that is profitable.
Yeah, I don't hear it again. That's right. So you got to ask counsel that is wise. You just can't just be all over the place. Thank you, know something because you have graduated from these institutions. Ask counsel that is wise. Give me 37:16, a closing statement. So, right, 37:16.
Yeah. 37:16 and the closing statement. Surah 37:16. Mm-hmm. Surah 37:16. Let reason go before every enterprise and counsel before every action.
You see that? You see it? Always check with anointed leadership before you run your mouth. So you run your mouth because you're going to get had. Get counsel. Then we'll straighten you out. Then you won't have to leave with egg on your face. Knowing you already don't set the trap, but it ain't going to work. Get counseling. You get the truth. Mother of Israel, Yahweh be with you and bless you, and you stood tall and kept on, and the world said one thing. Welcome. Your clock come out.
I want to read Psalms 32, verses 1, then I'm going to skip down to verse 8 to 11. Verse 1, blessed is he whose sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Verse 9, be you not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. They come near unto you. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusted in Yahweh, mercy shall compass him or her about. Verse 11, be glad in Yahweh and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Excellent. Hallelujah, Mother dear of Israel. That was excellent, Mother. Y'all, chapter 4, verse 5. What is it we can read in chapter 4, verse 5, young line? Colossians, chapter 4, verse 5.
Okay. Going to the book of Colossians. Picking up at chapter 4. Reading verse 5. 4, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time.
You got to walk in wisdom for those that's without. That's why you have to be clear. See if you humble and wise and walk in wisdom, you'll see the trap as it thinking unfolding itself by walking in the wisdom of the understanding of Yahweh. When you walk into a place, salute the place. If you don't get the response, you know then and there, back up on the place. That's walking in wisdom. He's giving you all the keys what to look for. Because if nobody greets you back, that means everybody in there can turn a deaf eye if something jump off in there, and that's how the enemy gets you every time. Because you had nobody greet you back saying, and Yahweh bless you. The same one who said Yahweh bless you can be sitting right out there and seeing the snake that got something else on his mind and catch and cut him off at the track. But if you don't hear what you need to hear, bag up and keep going. Let's back up. Let's go to Jubilee chapter 33, chapter 6, verse 33 and 36. What does it say? Because, see, when you ask counsel, you get the proper answer. Jubilee 6, 33 and 36 says what?
Book of Jubilee, chapter 6, verse 33 and verse 36. Verse 33 reads, but if they do neglect and do not observe them according to his Torah instruction, then they will disturb all their seeds, and the years will be dislodged from this order, and they will neglect their ordinances. Verse 36. For there will be those who will assuredly make the observation of the moon. Now, it disturbeth the seed and come in from year to year 10 days too soon.
Mm-hmm. And see, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to do the moon thing, and they're going to be doing things according to what? First Ezra chapter 1, 6-8. Now, Ezra pulled that verse. He pulled that verse, and let's see what he's talking about. But they're going to disturb and come in 10 days too soon. We'll let Ezra tell you exactly what they're talking about. Let's go to First Ezra chapter 1, verse 6-8.
The book of First Ezra, chapter 1, verse 6-8. Verse 6 reads, offer the Passover in oil and make ready the sacrifices for your brother. And keep the Passover according to the Torah instructions of Yahuwah, which was given unto Moses. Verse 7. And unto the people that was found there, Josiah gave 30,000 lambs and kids, and 3,000 calves. These things were given of the king's allowance, according as he promised to the people, to the priests, the Levites. Verse 8. Helikiah, Zechariah, the governors of the temple, gave the priests for the Passover 2,600 sheep and 300 calves.
Mm-hmm. So you see they're doing that. You see they're doing that Passover. So they're talking about the Passover. But again, he pulled that verse, that book from Jubilees, and said, "Listen, the Passover will be done according to the Torah instruction of Moses." And who's he talking to in Numbers chapter 2, 1, 2, 3, and 9? Numbers chapter 2, 1, 2, 3, and 9. So you see, Ray, when you get counseling, you understand that the Passover will be done as the Torah instructions of Moses. That's how the Passover will be done. And who is he telling that to today? Numbers 2. 1, 2, 3, and 9.
The book of Numbers, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and verse 9. Verse 1 reads, and Yahuwah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 2, every man of the family of Israel should pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far out about the temple of the congregation shall they pitch. Verse 3. And on the east side, towards the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah, polluted word for Yada, pitch throughout their army. And Nashon, the son of Amadad, shall be captain of the family or nation of Judah, polluted word Yada. Verse 9. All that were numbered in the camp of Judah, polluted word Yada, were 100,000 and 40,000, 6,400 throughout their army. These shall first set forth.
So Yada Judah supposed to first set forward. Brother, Yada Judah supposed to first set forward. Set forward what? Go to Wisdom of Solomon chapter 8, 1 through 4 and 14. Wisdom of Solomon chapter 8, 1 through 4 and 14. So Judah leads. So Judah, you're supposed to lead on whatever it is that's going to be done. You're supposed to lead the way, whatever it is. And when it comes down to the Passover, he's telling you Judah leads, but according to as is written. Wisdom of Solomon chapter 8, 1 through 4 and 14. What does it say?
Okay, the book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and verse 14. Verse 1 reads, wisdom reached from one end to another mightily, and sweetly do she order all things. Verse 2, I loved her and sought her out for my youth, from my youth. I desired to make her my spouse, and I was a lover of her beauty. Verse 3, and that she is conversing with Yahuwah. She magnified her nobility. Yet, Yahuwah of all things himself loved her. Verse 4, for she is privy to the mysteries of the knowledge of Yahuwah and a lover of his works. Verse 14, I shall set the people in order, and the nations shall be subject unto me.
So somebody got to set things in order. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. So we got it. But before you read that, read what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. See, somebody got to set things in order. And he tell you what tribe's supposed to make sure they know the rules and regulations of the order. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 22 says what?
Okay. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. Read, 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Yahuwah the Son also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. So what is the steps in Luke 2, 41 and 42? What is his steps even in his youth? What's the steps that we can read Luke 2, 41 and 42?
Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 2, reading verse 41 and verse 42. 41 reads, Now his parents went to Jerusalem, polluted word for Yahdah Judah, every year at the feast of the Passover. Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem, polluted word for Yahdah Judah, after the custom of the feast.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see what happened when he got grown. St. John chapter 7, verse 14 through 17. Now he done it in his youth. That means my mother read about train your child in your youth. So he was trained in his youth to keep the Passover and go up to it. Let's see what happened once he got on his own and got grown on his own in St. John 7, 14 down to 17.
Okay. The book of St. John chapter 7, verse 14 down to 17. Verse 14 reads, now about the midst of the feast, Yahuwah the Son went up into the temple and taught. Verse 15. And the Jews polluted word for Yahdah Judah marveled, saying, how know this man left, having never learned? Verse 16. Yahuwah the Son answered them and said, my doctrine, teaching, is not mine, but his that sent me. Verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the teaching, polluted word doctrine, whether it be of Yahuwah or whether I speak of myself.
So his will is what in verse 14?
The book of John, chapter 7, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, now about the midst of the feast, Yahuwah the Son went up into the temple and taught.
Hmm. And Paul pulled that in Luke and Acts 18, 19 to 21. What did Paul do? Let's see it. Since we all love to quote old Paul do in Acts 18, 19 to 21.
Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 19 through 21. Verse 21, verse 19 reads, "And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the temple," polluted word synagogue, "and reasoned with the Jews," polluted word for Yada Jews. Verse 20, "When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not." Verse 21, "But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the feet that come in Yada," polluted word Jerusalem, "but I will return again unto you if Yahweh will." And he sailed from Ephesus.
So Paul done the same thing Yahweh the Son did. And what was he saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8? So what Paul's saying when he sums it all up in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8?
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 reads, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Yahweh the Son, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Verse 8, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth."
Mm-hmm. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 and verse 6 will tell us something with leaven and verse 14. Let's find out about it. And okay, we're going to keep the feast. Let's see how we keep the feast that we can read in Deuteronomy 16, verse 1, 2, 6, 11, and 14.
Okay. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 1 through 6, 11 and 14. Verse
1
and
2. No, 1 and 2, and skip down to verse 6, and skip down to verse 11 and 14.
All right. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, skip down to 6, 11 and 14. Verse 1 reads, "Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover to Yahweh, your Yahweh. For in the month of Abib, Yahweh, your Yahweh, brought you forth out of Egypt," polluted word for Mazarene, "by night." Verse 2, "You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover to Yahweh, your Yahweh, of the flock of in the herd, in the place which Yahweh to choose to place his name there." Verse 6, "But at the place which Yahweh your Yahweh should choose to place his name in, there shall the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt," polluted word from Nazarene. Verse 11.
Hold that point.
"And you said,"
hold that point. What do you mean by the going down of the sun? What's that supposed to mean? Give me Mark 1:32. We come back and read verse 11 and 14. Mark 1:32, we come right back.
All right. Going to the book of Mark.
1:32.
Chapter 1, verse 32.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 32 reads, "And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought us to
hell." So the Passover is at evening when the sun set. Not back at the Leviticus 23, verse 1 and verse 4 down to verse 6. Let's find out a little bit more. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1, then skip down to 4 to 6.
Okay. The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, reading verse 1. And skip it down, reading verses 4 down to 6. Verse 1 reads, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying," verse 4, "These are the feasts of Yahweh, even a righteous gathering, which you shall proclaim in their season." Verse 5, "In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is Yahweh's Passover." Verse 6, "And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you shall eat
go to 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 38 down to verse 40. And 2 Ezra 2, 38 to verse 40. And?
Okay. We're in the book of 2 Ezra. Chapter 2, 37 down to 40.
Yeah, 37 down to 40.
Okay, the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 37 down to 40. 37 reads, "Oh, receive the gift that is given you, and be glad, giving thanks unto him that hath called you to the heavenly kingdom." Verse 38, "Arise up and stand. Behold, the number of those that be sealed in the feast of Yahuwah." Verse 39, "Which are departed from the shadow of the world, and have received glorious garments of Yahuwah." Verse 40, "Take your number, O Yada, and shut up those of thy that are clothed in white, which have fulfilled the Torah instructions of Yahuwah."
Mm-hmm. So you got to be clothed in white. And what about the whites in Numbers chapter 15, 37, 38?
Book of Numbers.
Numbers 15, 37, 38.
Going to the book of Numbers.
Book of Numbers, chapter 15, 37, 38.
Verse 37 reads.
Yeah, 15, 37, 38.
37 reads, "And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying," 38, "Speak unto the family of Israel, and bid them that they make some fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue."
Mm-hmm. Now come back to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11 and 13. Now, who all will be looking like that at the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread? Who all will be looking like that on the first day of Unleavened Bread? Unleavened Bread got the same attributes by being the first day of that feast as the first day of the Passover. White garments with fringes on. Now, who will be having them on in 11 and 14? Of the 16 chapter.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 11 and verse 14. Verse 11 reads, "And you shall rejoice before Yahuwah your Yahuwah, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite that is within your gate, and the stranger and the fatherless, the widow that are among you, and the place which Yahuwah your Yahuwah have chosen to place his name there." Verse 14, "And you shall rejoice in your feet, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow that are within your gate."
Verse 6 again, the closing statement. Verse 6, half
verse
of
six.
It.
Deuteronomy 16. You say half of it. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, "But at the place which Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, should choose to place his name in, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt." Polluted word for Mezzarine.
No said on that, young lion. You made it plain, and that's the way it is. The Passover is this Wednesday night, and that's the order of the Passover. Young lion, you stood tall again with Mother D up Israel and the elders, and Mother E, Mother Z was all on the international side. So we said one thing. Young lion, Brother Mackay, your closing statement is all yours until we get back on tomorrow. Come on.
Thank you, Yahuwah, for another best day to read his word. Thank you, Yahuwah, for allowing me to meet the seer and to teach me his word. I thank Yahuwah for my wife and children he gave to me to raise up to teach his word. Thank Yahuwah for the elders and the mothers and the teachers, the brothers and the sisters, the BOTTY, and all the six anointed counts. I'm going to read the book of Psalms, chapter 81, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "Sang aloud unto Yahuwah our strength, make a joyful noise unto Yahweh of Israel. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Mother D of Israel. Raise the room. Mother E, Mother Z, the elders. We're in place to do one thing. We're doing it according to the Bible. And we're going to expect a blessing because Yahweh is saying, if you got me right, I got you right. Huh? So remember, you got two types of people. The covenant keepers and you got nigger keepers. Which one are you going to be? A nigger ain't going to keep the covenant. A covenant keeper is not a nigger. Son was never called nigger to his father because he done everything his father say. So it is right there. You're going to be a thief to come up.